Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are the Raina Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jampacker joining me today. Full show. There's been nothing but basically full shows all summer long. It's supposed to be the dead of the offseason, and there's been a ton to talk about. Today, we're going to look at a couple rules. Not rules tweaks, but changes in how the refs are going to officiate some things, important things. I'm going to tell Charles Barkley to STFU. Kyrie Irving spoke at the uniform unveiling for the new Celtics black uniforms. And we're going to start with Gordon Hayward, who tonight published a piece on his website called Back to Basketball, and it is a long kind of just spilling of everything that you might have wanted him to talk about all from the summer. It talks about the decision-making process, the stuff off the court, playing video games, what we can expect, and he just rips open a wound right away by talking about Isaiah Thomas. And I saw the first thing I saw, Sam, was when you tweeted it out, because I was in the middle of my commute home, and you were like, this is really earnest.
I mean, that's exactly what it was. It was a very just like straightforward, these are my very like sincere feelings about what's going on, but there it just feels like classic Gordon Hayward. Just very nice and optimistic about everything. And he kind of, I don't know, it feels like he was directly cut from the Brad Stevens mold of just being like very positive. Like, I don't know. I for some reason, I see the earnest part of it as a bad thing. And I feel like that's just growing up in Boston, it's a weird East Coast bias against nice people from the Midwest. But it was just like a very thorough, nice article. It was like, nice about Isaiah, nice about Kyrie, talked about his summer. I don't know. It was a little too earnest, if I had to say that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just a jaded Bostonian.
That is such a Boston reaction to have, but yeah. You're too nice. I don't trust you. I've always said that, man. And when somebody's like really, really super nice and you're like too nice, you're like, what's his deal? Why are you so nice? What's your angle?
But that's kind of how I feel about Gordon Hayward at this point. Like, I'm glad he's admitted that he's like a big video game nerd. So at least it's not like he's like there is some genuine kind of personality there. But I haven't been able to see any sort of like flaws in his characters or like anything that would seem to indicate that he's not a robot designed by Brad Stevens, who I also think is a robot. So, you know what? I'm a little bit concerned heading into the season because – and I think we'll talk about this later with the Kyrie Irving sounds. Like, what is this team's personality going to be? And I don't know if they're going to get their personality from Gordon Hayward because I don't know how much of it shined through this letter. I mean, it was a very nice letter, I hate to be a dick, but that was my first reaction.
Well, listen, this is the thing that when I read it, it was another one of those, oh, God, I can't believe we traded Isaiah Thomas. Because all summer long, all I had been talking about was how cruel it would have been to trade Isaiah Thomas. And then they did it, and it seemed cruel. It was cruel. And here we are. I'll read directly from his post. After learning about the trade, this is what he says. My first reaction was to text IT and wish him the best. That was a really strange moment because I'd really been looking forward to playing with him. He didn't just help recruit me to Boston. He was a big piece of that recruitment. He had talked about the city and how it was different to be a Celtic. He talked about the intensity of playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, playing in the Garden in the playoffs, and how much fun it was and how much fun he had playing in Boston. All of that ultimately helped win me over, and by the time of the trade, I had already started to build a little bit of a relationship with him. That section right there just ripped my heart out because Isaiah was the guy that helped win Gordon Hayward over. And then the reward was, see ya. I mean, yeah, he's going to Cleveland, and if he's healthy enough to play, they'll have a chance to win a championship. But still, like, to hear him hear about how he was talking, how much fun it was and how much fun he had playing in Boston, how it was different being a Celtic. Like, he just so bought into being a Celtic. It'll all work out for the best, but it's just reading it just made me think, God damn it. Here come those feelings again.
Yeah. See, I mean, I feel like that's another, Bostonian response is a hatred of feelings.
Don't make me feel feelings, damn it.
Especially negative feelings.
Then my eye starts leaking and I don't know what that water thing coming out of my eye is.
You're right. It was difficult to read that, just, and it was reminded immediately, but it's kind of like, you see how transactional the NBA is. It's like, well, I texted Isaiah and I said good luck and that was sad. And then I texted Kyrie and it was like immediately ready for this new opportunity. And it feels like Hayward and Kyrie have this kind of long standing from a distance bromance, because Kyrie tried to recruit Hayward to Cleveland the first time around before LeBron signed. But it's, you're right. It was, any reminder of Isaiah is going to be a sad one. And I think the Isaiah being brought up and his kind of how much he cared and his personality contrasted with this kind of bland milquetoast Gordon Hayward has just makes you miss Isaiah Thomas even more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't think that Gordon Hayward's going to have that same level of honesty, or he's going to be very, he's cut from Brad Stevens' mold. I mean, he definitely is, like you said, a robot built by the Brad Stevens robot. I fully believe that. I completely believe that. So the robots are taking over in Boston, which is fine. I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords. I'm ready for it, and let's go. So read this. It's on his website. If you don't know the website, it's GordonHayward20.life, which...
That's a badass URL. I didn't know you could have a dot life, but I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Also, I thought his Players Tribune article was initially not written by him, but this would seem to indicate that he's just a very solid writer. Maybe he was majored in English at Butler, but he seems to be a coherent guy. And if he's not going to be like the big guy in the media, I appreciate him writing these letters and stuff like that. It gives us somewhat of a glimpse into the players' lives, and that's always something just as a fan that I appreciate, because you'll have some players who will be very guarded while talking to the media, and then you won't get anything from them. So as much as fun as I kind of made fun of Gordon Hayward, I appreciate just the notion of him doing this and just giving an update. I do have to say that, like, the highlight of his offseason being attending a live video game event was like the least cool thing in the world. I'm not a video game guy. I don't mean to insult video game people, but I just, you're like a millionaire. You could have done so many cool things and you just went to a video game event. I don't know. It was not for me. Me and Gordon Hayward, I just don't think we'd get along. I don't know what we would talk about. Maybe basketball. Probably I'd just like constantly ask him questions about Brad Stevens, but me and him would not be best friends.
No, he's a little bit of a dork.
And, yeah.
But he's a dork with combat muscles, so he does have those.
He
and
is
those
swole.
Are new.
He's good looking.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty much got it all. He's a damn good basketball player. He's a he's an attractive man. He's super rich. He's basically got it all. And so he's in Boston. So check out that whole thing. He gets into everything. Talks about the young guys. Talks about how much he's excited to play with Al Horford and how most people don't really know how good Al Horford is. We know how good Al Horford is. Maybe most people don't, but or the trolls on Twitter who, say, oh, well, why isn't he scoring so much? Because we pay him so much money. But that's my troll voice, by the way.
I like that one.
But he talks about all of that stuff, talks about how he's so looking forward to playing with Marcus Smart. So go read that. GordonHayward20.life. And my favorite thing is that he's got a comment section at the bottom, which I was waiting to see. Like, as I was scrolling down, I didn't expect to see comments. So one of the good comments that we always get is, hey, good read, Gordon. Thanks. Great post. I want to take a moment to remind everybody to check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. Big things coming this season for the Locked On Podcast Network. Some changes that will be coming. You'll be hearing about that. But check out all of the Locked On NBA shows. There is a show for every team. So if you want to keep up with other teams, if you are a fan of the Celtics, if you're one of those guys or girls that has multiple fandoms, maybe the Celtics are your second favorite team. Maybe you're just a Kyrie fan or a Hayward fan and you're following us, but you also want to follow other franchises. We have Locked On podcasts for every show, for every team out there. They're all really, really good. And we also have the Locked On Fantasy, the Locked On NBA show. So anything basketball that you want, from fantasy to the full league to each team, specifically an expert, local expert analysis of every team, in-depth stuff like we do here, that's available throughout the Locked On Podcast Network. So check it out and subscribe. Now, Kyrie Irving spoke today. The Celtics did a whole jersey unveiling, even though we've seen what those jerseys are like, but the Celtics had like a little kickoff party to unveil their black statement jerseys, quote unquote statement jerseys, which, first of all, I like those. Do you like those?
Yeah, I'm fine with them. I'm not like, they're not amazing, but they're not like a Parquet Pride gray pajamas thing. I'm personally not a big a jersey person. I think as long as it's not like horribly ugly. I was a fan of the green and black color scheme. The thing I had the biggest beef with is why was Shane Larkin was the guy representing them initially. So I'm glad they had a second event so they could see the true stars. Not having stars. They just had like weird robot street performers wearing the jerseys, didn't they? All the tweets from the Celtics beat reporters. Did you see those? So we haven't actually seen the stars in the new jerseys, but I like them. They're not like the most amazing thing in the world, but they're not offensive to the eyes.
No, I like them. I've been looking for a black Celtics jersey for a while, so I think this is a cool look. I like these much better than the green jerseys that they wore on the road, those weird green ones that Isaiah loved them so much, but I like these a lot better. But yeah, they have like the silver guy that kind of almost looks like the And One logo, but he's out there in his whole kind of fake statue dressed up in that uniform thing. But Kyrie was there. Gordon Hayward was there. Jason Tatum was there. So let's take a listen. A couple of clips. They come courtesy of WBZ-TV and our buddy Joe Giza, who is a sports producer there. Here's Kyrie Irving talking about getting to know his new Celtics teammates.
Well, you know, obviously we have that nucleus of guys that play in the league, like I said, for a few years. So getting acclimated to what we want to do offensively and defensively, that's gonna take some time. And the biggest thing I think that gets kind of drawn over is that we're almost complete strangers. Like, you know, we're very big fans of each other's games, but in terms of how we will mesh and collectively mesh as a group, that's a ways away. So when we're talking, it's just literally, when we're on the court, just getting as best acclimated to one another and our personalities as best you can, because once we leave that facility, we all go our separate ways until we really start diving into getting to know one another. So these first few days have been great. Brad's been great. Most of the guys have been in. So it's felt like a real college type vibe, and it's real intimate, and I enjoy it because there's a lot of teaching that can go on, and we can get some things done that prepare us best for getting training camp started on Tuesday.
So there's another guy that comes out and says it's going to take a while for us to gel. And we've heard that refrain over and over again. Jay and I talked about it in the last podcast. The Celtics are setting an expectation for all of us. Do not expect us to come firing out of the gate like the 07-08 Celtics. We're not going to be those guys. It's going to take us a long time to, or more than maybe you're expecting a longer amount of time to kind of gel. So Jay and I talked about it a little bit. I'm not going to go too far into that anymore, but what's your reaction to this whole notion that it's going to take a while?
It feels like just a bunch of like people who are just desperate for a field trip. Like, does anyone need like a bonding experience more than these guys who are, like Kyrie said, they're practically strangers. It feels like there needs to be some sort of way for these guys to come together. As for them setting expectations, I think they don't know what else to say, because they know don't really know each other, and they don't know how to exactly play together. I think it's interesting, like, that I think the basketball part will work itself out, but there's so much more about being on a team. I feel like there's team dynamics of like how the locker room goes, how do you respond to adversity, who speaks up, that they haven't really figured that out yet. So I think it's not I think it's much more of an off the court issue than it is an on the court issue. So I'm joking when I say this team needs a field trip and a montage, but don't think I am. Like, they really need, like, the Celtics in 2008 had that trip to Rome. And maybe that's something they're doing training camp in Newport, but that's not really a field trip. But I just do think there's like needs to be a chance for this team to come together and kind of develop that identity. And it's something that I'm very interested in seeing kind of how it works itself out, especially early in the season, is who's going to be the one to hold people accountable. Are these guys going to be like going out on the road, getting dinners together? Kyrie mentioned like, oh, right now we like come in, do our work and leave, but it's going to be interesting to kind of like really start working with the guys once everyone's here. It's like, part of me is thinking, why aren't you and Gordon Hayward hanging out like right now? Or why aren't like all the players trying to do something? There needs to, I feel like, be more leadership, and I don't know who exactly the person on the Celtics is to kind of organize that. And I don't know. I'm not an NBA locker room guru or expert, and maybe like a bunch of guys can just show up and be professionals. But to me, it feels like the most successful teams are the teams that kind of have that good camaraderie, work together, and kind of have good chemistry both on and off the court.
I think it's going to fall onto the longest tenured Celtic, Marcus Smart, to do this, right? I mean, he's the guy.
He's the one who is like, has the Celtics culture installed in him. And it's something that you saw Gordon Hayward mention in his article. Kyrie brought up, I think I saw quotes about him just talking about like the culture of winning in the Celtics. So you hope it's something that the organization top down can kind of infuse into them. But you're right. If Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, I guess, are the team emotional leaders. And so I think if Marcus Smart is that type of person, if he's vocal enough, because he certainly is the guy, he busts his ass and is constantly trying to win. If he can be the person who holds people accountable, I mean, that would be a good thing. But can Marcus Smart do that? He also gained like 35 pounds last year during the season.
I think the Celtics are ready for Captain Tito, by the way. But I do think that Marcus Smart is vocal enough to at least stand up for if somebody's out of line. I think he's definitely willing to stand up and kind of hold that person accountable. I don't know if he's going to be Captain Marcus Smart, but I think he's got the ability to rise to that kind of leadership level. Why not?
He's certainly fiery enough. He has like the emotional, like he cares enough that he's not going to like bite his tongue ever. And maybe that's the exact kind of person you knew. It felt like last year it was Isaiah, Jay. Those are the type of people who would do that. But I feel like Marcus, he's the one who would do that. With Al Horford, he feels like the more of the quiet, leader who will take you aside and explain to you why how much you disappointed him.
I think Al Horford's the type of player that would put together a nice PowerPoint presentation on all of the ways that you have been disappointing and a plan for you to improve your behavior. I think, you know, click it through on the wall in the locker room. That's more Al Horford's speed.
I feel like Al Horford is a master of like the sandwich method. So he'll start off with a compliment and then he'll go with like kind of things that are bad. And then he'll bring it back around for ways we're going to improve and move forward. I think, yeah, I think it's kind of a good cop, bad cop situation. So who knows? Maybe I'm overblowing this identity thing because it sounds like we just settled it. Marcus Smart's going to be the angry one and Al Horford's the nice one. It's just, all right, Celtics are in good shape. Sorry we brought it up.
Hey, you never know. But there is no real dominant kind of asshole personality in there that needs to be kept in check. There's no Boogie Cousins that's going to go in there and dominate and be kind of toxic. All of these guys are pretty decent guys. Like the one thing we've been talking about now is everybody's just kind of nice. There's no edge to this team except for, you know, you got Smart and you got Marcus Morris and Tito. And those are your guys that are kind of like edgy. Everyone else is just kind of pretty down to earth, or like Kyrie just seems like, you know, he just wants to sit back and wax poetic about something, whatever. Like he and Jaylen will get together and have monster philosophical debates. Like no one else is in that locker room running wild and being a jerk that needs to be kept in check. So I don't know if any of that kind of chemistry thing off the court is going to be a big deal. I think it's just more timing and stuff on the court. Kyrie also had very nice things to say about one Jason Tatum, who he called a bad dude. Take a listen. Also, once again, Joe Geezer from WBZ TV providing this audio.
He's like my big little brother, or the little big brother. Like that dude is so talented, and he has a ceiling that's sometimes you can't even really see it because you won't be able to see it all the time because of the amount of respect that he has to earn as a rookie. But his talent's through the roof. He works extremely hard. And of course, you know, having the lineage of going to Duke and understanding what it's like to be on a great team and play with good players and how much you got to sacrifice in order for us to be a great team, you know. So the individual goals and the individual talents, we got to bring the best out of him, and you got to bring the best out of us. And once he figures that out, the sky's the limit for that kid. I mean, I'm serious when I tell you guys that dude is a bad dude, man. He's a bad dude. So
he's a bad dude. That's you know, that's pretty nice compliment, and everybody's raving about this kid. Paul Pierce came out earlier and said he's basically me from, you know, more mature when I was at that age, and it's all sounding pretty good. Everything's coming up Millhouse here for Danny Ainge and that draft pick.
Yeah, it's everything is pointing to like the Jason Tatum being a very good player, and he has a lot of hype around him, but I'm going to put my flag in the Jason Tatum. I'm cautiously optimistic just because until I can really see it on the court, I feel like Kyrie's obviously going to say these things about Jason Tatum because there's just the kind of that Duke connection. They know each other. Feel like, I don't know. I haven't really seen rookies come into this league and dominate or play that well. It's just so rare. There's so much adjustment to the NBA game, the speed of the game, just how you play. I have questions about Jason Tatum's defense. I don't know how much Brad Stevens is really going to put up with him. So it's definitely not a bad thing that you have all these people coming out and supporting Jason Tatum. I'm just kind of firmly in kind of a cautiously optimistic island. I just need to see it with my own eyes first because I've watched the tape. I've seen it in college. He's certainly talented. He had an amazing summer league. He can do some one-on-one moves from the post that are just amazing and just incredibly skillful. I'm just waiting to see the kind of the complete package as an NBA player. So I'm sorry to kind of rain on the Jason Tatum parade, but I don't know. I haven't bought into the hype yet.
Well, of course, it's going to, we haven't even really seen him play an NBA game. Summer League doesn't count, but the hype, yeah, the hype is real, but people that don't have to say these words are saying these words. And Kyrie didn't have to say, he didn't have to say it like this, but he did, you know, to say that he's a bad dude, the way he said it. It's not just a stock answer. It's not like, hey, this guy's got a lot of promise. I feel good about it. He kind of took it to a more personal, kind of more real level. And, you know, Paul Pierce didn't have to say what he said, but he did. So, obviously, we're going to have to wait and see on Tatum. You never know. A lot of players have come and gone without making any impact on the NBA that have had a lot of talent. We do have to see what the how that translates on the court. But for now, I like what people are saying. It's really nice.
It's certainly better than Kyrie saying, like, yeah, no, I don't really know Jason Tatum that well. Maybe he's
Jason,
like,
Tatum? I don't recognize the name.
Or like, oh, he's been really struggling in practice. He's going to take a while to get ready for the NBA. Like,
yeah, right?
And no. It was nice. One thing about the Kyrie clips that I found, it was a nice contrast to his first take interview. But when he is like, seems more comfortable and more, I guess, just honest in what he's feeling and more comfortable in the situation, he's a very likable individual. I'm slowly coming around on Kyrie Irving. I mentioned when this trade first came around that it's going to be real hard to root for the flat earth kind of personality that what I saw. But you know what? I'm just as I get to know him, I'm feeling him out. It kind of feels like I'm dating him. Like I'm like really a little bit suspicious at first. I don't know what his intentions are. But you know what? As I get to know him, I'm slowly coming around on Kyrie Irving, and I think he might be the one. Who knows?
Yeah, I will say, I'll share a tweet from Patrick at PatrickS1591, who says, "Not gonna lie, Kyrie is saying all the right things to make Boston fall in love with him." And parenthetically, he added, "Don't mean to imply that he's being disingenuous, but Kyrie is saying the right things, and that this is the process of everyone moving on and looking forward. Kyrie is saying the right things. He is." And that whole first take thing, even I thought it was funny, and I thought it was great. So this is the process of, well, Kyrie's a Celtic now, and it's still weird to look at the Boston Celtics tweeting, "Hey, look who stopped by to check out our new uniforms," and it's Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, and Jason Tatum. And you're just like, none of those guys are actually Celtics. Oh, wait, they all are, yes. So it's just weird. It's still gonna take a little time to get used to it, but he's doing and saying the right things. So there are other clips. If you go to Joe Giza's timeline, at Joe Giza, G-I-Z-A, he's got a couple of other clips there from Kyrie from tonight that, you know, he's talking about how much Boston has kind of been cool for him so far. He talks about breaking down and people coming to help him out. So, which was a weird story. He put a new engine in his Jeep and it broke down, whatever. Yeah, so Kyrie's been doing good things and people like what he's saying. I did not like what Charles Barkley said, and I'm not upset usually at Charles Barkley things. I like Charles Barkley, but today this video surfaced of him giving an interview, and just for some reason he's pissed off that the NBA season has been extended. So I'll just play the clip. Let you listen if you haven't heard it, and then I will react on the other side.
You know, these poor babies can't play back-to-back games. We just want to make it convenient for them. That $40 to $50 million they're making a year, just can't stress them out. The private jets and the four-star hotels is not enough. So I just want to commend the NBA for just making it so convenient for these poor babies. You know, I am so angry at the NBA for telling these guys, wait a minute, we're paying you $30, $40 million a year. You can't play basketball 2 days in a row. I think it's a travesty. It's just a joke to me. Listen, we flew commercial and we were able to play back to back. You know, I've sit with older guys who took trains and played 3 days in a row. The NBA caved in. instead of making them play back-to-back games, move the season up. I think it's a joke.
All right. I have no clue why Barkley is angry. And he said it. Like, I'm angry. Angry at the NBA. Like, angry? Why are you so angry that the NBA moved their season up a couple of weeks? Like, there's... What is negative about what the NBA did? They've eliminated back-to-backs. They've eliminated four-game and five-night stretches completely. And Barkley seems pissed off that, you know, as he says, oh, those poor babies, like the NBA caved. Like, by doing what? By not having them play back-to-back games as often? That's just a stupid comment by a guy who should know better. Through injuries, had probably had his career shortened. Definitely could have cost him at least a championship if he had been healthier. But I'm completely dumbfounded by Charles Barkley being so pissed off at the NBA making sure that its players are healthy. Fans want to see players healthy. Fans want to see these guys out there playing at their best. What's the big goddamn deal about the regular season starting earlier? What's the problem?
The only thing I can think of is that he has to work two more weeks and that he's upset about like losing his vacation time, because it makes no sense. Like, there's no reasonable person who would be anti eliminating back-to-backs. And maybe it's just if you're a player and you're asked about the players who come after you, you're just like obligated to be an old crotchety man yelling at the clouds. Like, it's just like it's uncontrollable. He has to say something stupid and just disparage the players, but it's just completely illogical. Like, it's just, and maybe that's just the way kind of internet culture is now. It's just like, you gotta be upset about something. You gotta nuke something. So I'm not sure. I'm gonna ask right now, Jay King, how many Celtics references do you think have been in this podcast so far? Because it's like it's already been over four or five.
We're at four Simpsons references so far, two good ones each. I think we both dropped two quality Simpsons references each, that worked very well. I'm very impressed. But
Jay King's gonna be so upset.
Jay King has no idea what's going on right now. But yeah, back to Chuck. You know, and I tweeted this, these old players sometimes wear their injury risks as some sort of badge of honor. Like, I played back when alligators were in a pit in half court and blah, blah. Like, get over yourself. Who cares? We all, if you've ever played the game, we all played once upon a time when shit was tougher than it is right now. But so, good. Good that things are better right now. Why, as a player, as a former player, yeah, the only thing I would say is I wish my schedule was better. If I was a former NBA player, the only thing that would make me upset is I wish we had the science back then that we have now that would have gotten us a little bit more time in between games so you can work on your craft a little bit more, so you can get more practices in, get more time with your teammates, work on a few things, and not go out there and put your body at risk by playing two games in a row or three games in a row. That's just, it's idiotic to me. As a former player, I would want future players to have everything that they can get. The money, the fame, the better schedule, so the better training, better science, all of that stuff. You know, you're a trailblazer. Like, Barkley played, and Barkley didn't exactly play in a tough time. You know, he didn't make $30 million a year. Maybe he's pissed off about that. Maybe he's pissed off that he still has to work. But you know what? He probably shouldn't have gambled all that money away either. So it's part of it's his own goddamn fault. So It makes no sense, and I just needed to rant about Barkley not making any sense about player safety. These guys, the whole point is not that they want to be coddled and they're soft. They just don't want to tear their ACLs, goddammit. Like, that's just, it just makes sense. So, whatever. That's my rant against Charles Barkley.
I just wanted to note that with all that being said about back-to-backs, the Celtics do open the season on a back-to-back,
Yeah.
I think is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, the Celtics early part of the season, we've said it before on the podcast, it is kind of – there's a heavy crunch. Their schedule early on is pretty heavy. But then they have that London game, and because of that, they have basically two all-star breaks. They take like – they play one game in a week just to get all the travel and all their obligations in and out of the way. So – it's kind of funny, but whatever. Last topic on the show today, NBA referees, they're kind of getting a little new guidance on how to call certain things. There's two things. One is the so-called Zaza rule, which is the referees have the ability now to call a flagrant foul or a tech on a defender who basically they call it a reckless closeout. So the Zaza rule is because he closed out on Kawhi Leonard, put his foot underneath, did not allow Kawhi space to land, and he turned his ankle. Spurs lost the series. Al Horford also did that to Markieff Morris. So there's going to be some kind of, I guess, leeway there where a referee can call that either flagrant or a tech or something. So it basically, again, for player safety, it prevents players from going and doing that. They could be severely punished. So I think that's a good move. So your reaction?
It's difficult. It's going to be the type of thing, I'm guessing, if it's a flagrant to that's going to become reviewable. And it's just, it feels like it's very hard to gauge intent on those matters, and it could just be recklessness. And I understand if you're just trying to kind of police it out so you don't have players just jumping recklessly. So in the interest of player safety and not having people come down on other people's ankles and not having turned ankles, because that's a benefit. Like, ideally, Kawhi Leonard would have played every single game in the Western Conference Finals last year. So it's a good thing overall, I would say. It's going to be – I don't know how – is it just a tech if you are – like, if you jump – if you'd be like, come in their landing space? Is it an automatic tech? Because if you have to gauge intent, then I feel like it becomes a kind of a slippery slope. How do you really tell if someone was deliberately trying to do that versus just like – in Al Horford's case, I don't think he was trying to do that to Markieff Morris. I think he was just made a very honest attempt to try and block his shot. And the kind of mistakes happen. And maybe I'm kind of hesitant about this because I'm very guilty of doing this when I play pickup. It's just overly aggressive closeouts where I just end up making a lot of body contact with the person shooting. So maybe that's why I'm a little skeptical. But I'm just it's not my intent to do that. But I'd be upset if I got a tech every single time I kind of fucked up when I was playing pickup.
Well, you'd have to adjust your game a little bit then, wouldn't you? That's what players do. You have to adjust your game. So I think that's a universally kind of accepted rule. Like, these guys just shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And if that's something that even happens accidentally, look, accidents happen. And I agree with you. I don't think Al Horford was trying to do that. He doesn't have a history of doing that like Zaza does. But look, even accidentally, you just have to be more cognizant of it. You have to watch where your feet are. You have to know your body and just try to avoid that stuff. The other emphasis is going to be the so-called Harden rule, where James Harden, especially, but many, many players, do this, the fake, like it's kind of almost like what Paul Pierce used to do. The fake, the guy jumps, you jump into the guy, he fouls you, then you launch the shot, and you get free throws. So under these new guidelines, there are a couple of different ways this can be interpreted. If you up fake, if you jump into the player, they can call that an offensive foul. So if you fake the guy, he goes up, you're behind the three-point line, you jump forward and jump into the guy, that can be called an offensive foul. Secondly, if you draw the foul, if the guy does jump into you and you kind of swing your arms and he hits you and it's before you're gathering to take the shot, that's just a common foul now it can be a common foul. It doesn't have to be a shooting foul where that resulted in a lot of free throws. And then, yeah. And so then the other thing would be is if you are in the motion, it just becomes a shooting foul. So different guidelines, a little different guidance. I think one thing is that the NBA sees free throws as something that slows down the game. They've been trying like hell to speed up the game. And this, a guy like Harden, who lives at the free throw line, just fucking lives there. They want to cut that down. The NBA would eliminate free throws if it could. I believe that. So to do this and to discourage things that just cause you to go to the foul line excessively, that's, I think that more than anything is why the NBA tried to do this. And because Harden so egregiously did that and benefited to such a great extent, they want to say, hey, we gotta make sure this game is moving better. Free throws are boring. People don't like them. So we're just going to find a way to eliminate them. And this is a big way of eliminating them.
Yeah, I think the second part of what you mentioned is like the coming around a screen and a guy having his like arm trying to break through a screen makes contact, and then you just kind of throw up your hands. That was one of the most frustrating kind of fouls to see in the game. It's something Isaiah was very good at doing at points in the game. So I'm glad that that can just be called a common foul. Yeah, and it's one of the more frustrating aspects of the NBA over the last year was watching just kind of all these ridiculous foul calls where you knew there was just kind of nothing the defender could do about it, and it was kind of automatic. So I'm glad they're not doing anything. I would have liked to see them not. I don't think it should be an offensive foul if like you get a guy in the air and you jump into him. I just think it should be a kind of a play on scenario. So you throw the ball up and what happened and. Because I'd rather just not see the game stop for kind of nonsense, but I guess it comes back to enforcement and deterrence. Like, you're going to want to have a larger penalty for the offensive player, but you're right. Less free throws, less unearned points, I guess. I'm all for it. It's like something that definitely, and I just like Adam Silver in general. I don't see how any other sports commissioner is so bad at their jobs. Roger Goodell, Gary Bettman. But it just seems like Adam Silver's constantly working and listening to the fans and trying to make the game a little bit better. So I'm glad there's making these small changes that I definitely think will have an impact on gameplay. So kudos to Adam Silver for, you know, making those little improvements that the little tweaks that will actually just make the viewing experience better.
Yeah, I think anything that kind of helps eliminate the egregious crap like that is, I think it's good. And the last thing we want are whistles. We don't want whistles to constantly stop the game. How frustrating is it to watch a game and it's nothing but foul after foul after foul? So I agree with you. I like play on situations. I think that was the way you addressed flopping. I know that they have to impart certain rules to kind of enhance it, but I think this is along the same lines. When it comes to flopping, if a guy flops and it's an obvious flop, don't call anything. Now the guy's on the floor and the guy with the ball can go just score. So that if you're not going to call it, people aren't going to do it. Same thing with those things. If the guy flails just because, you know, a guy was coming around a little bit late and he's throwing up shots that he's nowhere near ever going to make, then or those up fakes and diving into the players or jumping sideways into players. Like if that stuff isn't going to get called, then guys just aren't going to do it. So that to me is the easiest way to eliminate this stuff, but referees end up just calling this stuff. And so you got to change the rules and change the guidelines of how they call it. So they have, so they can be kind of corralled. That's my biggest problem has always been with the referees in those situations. Why do you even call it? Why do you have to blow the whistle? I've always been a proponent of adding a fourth ref so we can, I think that would actually eliminate a lot of this stuff because even if they blow the whistle, a fourth ref come in and be like, no, he jumped sideways. We're going to say that's a no call or it's an offensive foul and just go the other way. That would be my solution, but this is good enough. Anything that can eliminate that stuff, I'm all for it.
All right. Yeah, I think that's it. I was trying to think of any other rules or tweaks to the game that I would want to make, but no. Basketball is perfect. It's the best sport. I don't. There's people. We're recording this on Thursday night. There's people actually watching Thursday night football right now, which is absurd to me. Those games are always trash.
That's football. I pay so little attention. I'm just. I don't even. Who's supposed to be playing? I have no idea. I don't care.
I think the Los Angeles Rams are playing because I've seen some tweets about it, but I don't know. Oh, I just really wanted the opportunity to make a comment that the NFL is trash and the NBA is the greatest sport in the world.
Absolutely. I like that. That's a nice way to end. Good stuff today. Again, 4 high-quality Simpsons references I like seamlessly worked in. So good work by both of us. Give ourselves a little pat on the back. If I was a listener of this podcast, I'd give us 5 stars for this one. So if you're a listener of this podcast and you appreciate the Simpsons references, by all means, please go rate us 5 stars. Do that for us. It helps us out a lot. So go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. We're there. We know that you tend to, the statistics say you tend to have like 5 podcasts that you listen to regularly. So we hope we are in your starting 5. Please make us part of your starting 5 podcasts. I want to give a shout out to our boy Millie's. Once again, his new album, Sped 2, dropped yesterday, 2 days ago. I've been listening to it a few times, gone through it a few times. It's a nice album. I'm not just saying that because he gave us a dope intro. I'm not saying that because he's a Boston guy, Cambridge guy. I'm saying it because it's a nice album. And especially nowadays with all this trap bullshit, which I hate, this is a nice actual rap album. So good on Millie's for dropping that. I also want to say thanks to all of you, the listeners. After the show drops, we will, if we get our normal amount of listeners, we will cross now the 2 million listen threshold. This podcast, once it's published and enough people listen to it, which they will, we are going to cross 2 million listens of the Locked On Celtics podcast. So that is amazing. It's an amazing number. We've been doing the show for a year. To get 2 million listens is just mind-blowing. But so I just want to say thank you guys for listening to us, sticking with us, sharing it, rating, and all the stuff that we do and ask for. I think it's great. So thanks for all of that. Thanks to our guy Joe Gies at WBZ for those clips of Kyrie. And that's it. That's the show. The season begins soon. Media day next week. Training camp opens next week. Holy shit. They're back. So we'll be talking about all of that next week here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.